to this church. I thank you for all that you've been doing for us, Father. I pray that tonight that you give me the words to say anything you don't want me to say, Father. I know you can, there's a way that you can tell me not to say that either. I just pray that the words that I say are heard, and that someone can go home tonight with something that they didn't, that they extra that they didn't come with. And I thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, my sheet that I handed out is a little different than what the way than all the other ones that you've seen probably. Rayo's is more organized. But I think this is kind of where I wanted to go with it. So starting over on the, I just want to read down with, all of us can read down, it's starting at the top there, where it says, if I were to, I didn't, Christ came into the world for,
it's going to be celebrated, he had already hit record.
Okay. If I were to ask you to what Christ came into the world for, most of you would say to save sinners. When I first wrote this, I put, most of you would say, or no, I didn't, I left off the most, but some of you wouldn't say this, so I changed it to most. Most of you would say to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, steadfast is the word, and of all acceptation worthy that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, first of whom I am. And then you would stop because you would think, well, you know, that's what he came here for. A great many think that is all Christ came to do, to save sinners. But then he came to do more, much more. Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he went in according to his custom on the Sabbath day to the synagogue and stood up to read. And there was given over to him a roll of Isaiah the prophet. And having unfolded the roll, he found the place where it had been written, and this is supposed to be in red, but the printer didn't print red. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he did anoint me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim to captives deliverance, and to blind receiving the sight, to send away the bruised with deliverance, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And having folded the roll, having given it back to the officer, he sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were gazing on him, and he began to say unto them, today has this writing been fulfilled in your ears. I think most of the scripture that I've got written, I did it in King James, not because I just love that, I think that's the best, but it's the safest, you know, where no one can really criticize the King James. He came to save our souls, that's true. But one of the big things that hasn't been really emphasized is that he also came to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted we've all experienced it in one way or the other. We know Jesus came into the world to do many wonderful things, but tonight I want to take up this one thought. Of all the other thoughts that Jesus had, the one thought that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Kathy and I just want to share just a really quick little, to let you know what I'm thinking of as what is the brokenhearted. We had, most of you I think know about the little foster girl that we had, and Jason's aware of it. And we were in the process, we wanted to keep her. And because of the system, basically, that's what it was. We weren't able to. And we had this little girl from birth to 3 years old. So she was like ours. And that's an example of a broken heart. Ours, it was for the longest time, you know, it really affected us, you know. And bothered us, and I think it even bothered Jason. I think it bothered him more when we had the little boy, and you know, and we had to give him back. But I'm talking about brokenhearted, which means it's not. I'm not talking about a physical, like breaking your leg or something like that. You know the old saying, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That's the biggest lie. If you've never been hurt by names, you know, ask some of these kids in school that are being bullied, that are being harassed, being teased. You know, we're witnessing that ourselves with one of our grandkids being bullied, and it hurts. You know, it's a kind of hurt that is worse sometimes than a physical pain. You break your arm and it'll heal within 6 weeks or whatever. But names, for instance, are there forever. And not just names, but things in your life, you know, where you were hurt, suffered. So you believe in physical healing, and you believe in spiritual healing, which you should. But you just don't hear that much about. You might hear a little bit about the healing of a broken heart. Paul mentioned it actually in his sermon, and I thought, well, I hope he doesn't say too much because, you know.
I don't say too much.
Well, I mean, from what I was going to mention, you know, he brought up the instance about the man that was born blind. And what Jesus did, spitting in his in the ground and making mud, and so on, and you know, it's really a good point. That's a good issue of a man that is brokenhearted. I mean, he was blind. He wanted his sight, and there are many scriptures that tell you, you know, if you don't remember reading them or something, but. There are many issues of people having broken hearts. In Psalm 34:17-19, it says, "As he passed by." No, I'm sorry. "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." These are promises, by the way. You know, when something like this is read, it's not a suggestion or it's a promise. Going on, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." So, with those words, it must mean something. There must be a problem there that has to be solved. Another thing I've noticed, and I'm sure you have too, that there are no... You won't find that there is any class of people exempt from brokenhearted or suffering. The rich, how many times have you read people, I'm thinking of, when I say the rich, I'm thinking right off of like Hollywood, where they can be married for 15 years or something, and all of a sudden they get a divorce. You know, there's just all kinds, even though they have all kinds of money, all kinds of things happen down on the rich, and the poor, you know, the poor suffer also. So it doesn't matter what class you're in. Suffering, when I mean by suffering again, it's of a broken heart. It all happens to all of us. You'll find that. Let's see, did I read? If I walked privately down to each one of yous, the reason I say privately is because in public you're a little holding back on what you might want to say is the truth, but in private you could probably tell me something that's was in your life or is in your life right now that is really, you know, hurts your heart, you know, something that makes you sad. Something that you wish hadn't happened. You know, it's happened to all of us. Over here in a story, okay, in the sheet that I handed out, there's a story here. I'll just read it along. I think you've probably heard it said that when something goes in your eyes and out of your mouth and in your ears, you absorb it even faster than if it's just one of those. So we'll do both here. It starts off, I was told of a story a few years ago about a friend who was making cold visits. And what I mean by cold visits is door-to-door. And I was talking about that today, how I've done it before, and it's been a long time, and it's kind of scary. But I'm getting to the point in my life now that I'm ready for scary things again. I'm ready to do it again. Okay, the story went like this. The first place he went to, he found a mother, her eyes red with weeping. He tried to find out what was troubling her, and she reluctantly opened her heart and told him all. She said, "Last night my only boy came home about midnight drunk. I didn't know that he was addicted to drunkenness, but this morning I found out that he had been drinking for weeks." And she continued, "I would rather have seen him laid in the grave than have him brought home in the condition I saw him last night." He tried to comfort her as best as he could when she told him her sad story. When he went away from that house, he didn't want to go into any other house where there was family trouble. The very next house he went to, however, where some of the children who attended his Sunday school resided, he found that death had been there and laid his hand on one of them. The mother spoke to him of her afflictions and brought to him the playthings and the little shoes of the child, and the tears trickled down that mother's cheeks as she related to him her sorrow. He got out as soon as possible and hoped he should see no more family trouble that day. The next visit he made was to a home where he found a wife with a bitter story. Her husband had been neglecting her a long time, and now, she said, he has left me. I don't know where he has gone. Winter is coming on, and I don't know what is going to become of my family. He tried to comfort her and prayed with her and endeavored to get her to lay all her sorrows to Christ. The next home he entered, he found a woman crushed and brokenhearted. She told him her boy had forsaken her, and she had no idea where he had gone. That afternoon, he made 5 calls, and in every home, he found a broken heart. Okay, let me stop there for a minute. And I was going to tell you about one of the happenings in our life, which I just did. And there have been some other things, you know, sad things. The one thing that happened to me when I was just a little boy, and I remember this, I was just 6. I wasn't going to school, so I must have been 4 or 5. I remember this. We had a little dog, and I loved that little dog. We played with it all the time, and one day it got hit by a car. And I remember the feelings I had, you know, the sorrow that I had because my little playmate was dead. That's one of the reasons we haven't had a dog for a long time, because of I remember the hurt that it gave me. In the last, Abigail is 3 years old, so just like 3 years ago is when I was able to bring one back into the house again. But those things you remember. Think of all the broken hearts that are in this room. How many are in Alliance? How many that are behind closed doors that we don't even know about? How many people do you see? They act really, you know, on Sunday morning, you know, they're all smiles and we're one of them sometimes. You know, we have a bad morning or something, but we come into church and smile. Everything's fine. How are you doing? Just fine. But, you know, how many times does that happen? And behind that facade is a broken heart, someone that has really had some suffering going on. And you know, we don't even know it. One of the things that I was told once, don't ever ask anybody how you're doing unless you're ready to offer some time. If they say, if they tell you a problem, don't just say, I'll have the pastor pray for you or something like that. If you're not ready to help, don't ask. You know, there are people like that that are hurting. Okay, I just talked about, you know, the church, alliance, the earth. The earth is not a stranger to tears or to broken hearts. For 6,000 years, that cry has been going up to God. For 6,000 years, people with broken hearts, people that are sad, people that have been hurt, talk about people that have been hurt. People that have been hurt in the church. I talked to one fellow the other day, and he said he believes in Jesus, but he doesn't want to go to church. He's been hurt by. I'm not saying it was here. I think I know where he was going, but people have been hurt even in the church. So, some examples: Cain and Abel. Think of the hurt in Adam and Eve when they found one of their sons killed his brother. Jacob and Joseph, when Jacob found out that he was told that his son was killed by a lion, he grieved and grieved for so many years, his broken heart. King David and his son Absalom, when his son was dying, he prayed for him. He was really hurting, but praying for him. But when he died, he said, "Well, it's over." But you know what? He said it was over, but he had that broken heart. He felt it. He just wasn't showing it. That's what it doesn't say that, but I believe that's what happened. He felt the hurt. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Luke 19:41. Says, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. He looked over at the city because he saw what was going to happen. He knew how it was going to be overthrown, how the women were going to be exploited. The buildings tore down. He knew what was going to happen, and his broken heart over Jerusalem. Out of anybody, can you think of another one that? Something sad happened to him. One of the ones I thought of was Lazarus. Here he died. His sisters, you know, grieved and were so stricken by their brother dying. And, of course, calling for Jesus, come and bring him back. Or no, it was when he was, before he died, they were calling for him. And he took his time. And we all know why he took his time was for the glory of God, that they would see that he raised him from the dead. So it was all for a reason. Over here on this sheet, on the back sheet, up towards the top where I left off about the story about, you know, the guy making the cool visits. On that sheet, it says, let me call your attention to this little word, sent, or God sent. I wrote here, take your Bibles, but I don't mean for you to write now, but sometime. Take your Bibles and read about those who have been sent by God. And one thought will come to your mind, that no man who has ever been sent by God to do his work has ever failed. If they had been sent by God, they never failed. Give you some examples. Moses. Moses was sent by God to take 3 million Jews out of Egypt, and without a general, without a plan, and he, you know, just kind of obeyed, is what it is. There was obedience there. He did it. Moses was sent, and he did not fail. Joshua, the walls of Jericho. He was told to conquer Jericho. And who would think that he could do it the way he did, with marching around and blowing the trumpets and so on, and the falls just to, the walls to fall down. But Joshua sent. He didn't fail. Another one that came across my mind was Jonah. Here's one that was sent, and he said no. But because he was sent, God persuaded him. Very, very persuading too. And Jonah had a kind of a good reason. I'm not saying it's a godly reason, but he had a good reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh to bring these people to the Lord. I mean, they were, you could use this as an example for each one of us. Do you know of anybody that you think of like, I'm not going to tell him about the Lord. He's such a terrible person. He did this or he did that. Jeffrey Dahmer. Why would I tell a man that does all these terrible things? Why should I? I don't want him to go to heaven. I'm not saying that that's my words. I'm just saying that people could think that way. You know, look what he did. And yet, in the end, from what I understand, he did. While he was in prison, before he was killed, he did come to the Lord. So there are people that are meant to come that we might not realize. So if God sent all these people, and there are many, many more, of course, we could go throughout the whole Old Testament and the New, people that were sent and succeeded. Think of Paul. My gosh, Paul, he went through unbelievable torments. I mean, I don't know if I was going to talk about that, but I will. He just went through such, but he didn't fail. He did everything what God told him to do, and again, obedience. I should have maybe put up to the top here instead of the broken heart, obedience, because that's what we all need. Malachi 3:6 says that, and Pastor Kirk brought this, I know he's mentioned it in his Monday nights, says that he does not change. So if he doesn't change, and he says, and there's also scripture that says that he doesn't lie. If he can bring all of these things to fruition. Okay. How much more, if God send his son, will he fail? Sending his son, he won't fail. And so if he won't fail, back here it said that he is here to heal the brokenhearted. I was thinking of a difference between, and you think this way a little bit, those that are believers, true believers, not just those that just go to church and, you know, every Christmas and Easter and say that they're Christian because we live in the United States, you know, that doesn't cut it. But those that are real Christian, that are going through persecution of some kind, and those that are not Christian at all. The difference in the way we go through persecutions. A lot of times, us that are Christian, we have a sense that I have to go to someone to help me. We don't always have to go to someone. What I mean by someone is, it's helpful if you feel necessary to go to an elder, because that's scripture too, to go to an elder for healing. But you don't have to. You don't have to. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. I know Rayo does it all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say this, the Catholic religion, when they have a problem, whether it's sin, whatever, they go to the priest because they think the priest is an advocate with the Father. The priest will go to the Father and pray for him and all that. And we have a priest, but we don't have to. But he's not an earthly priest. It's in Hebrews 7:17. It says, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Jesus is our high priest. We can go to him, and he can solve any problem we want. According to the order of Melchizedek, I would like to explain that sometime. It's a long story about tithing and so on. But if you ever get the chance, read why. Because this is, I do this a lot where I go, why does it say this? Why? And so on. So I go back and check books and whatever, and to find out who Melchizedek was. Why is it under the order of Melchizedek? Just to give you a short reason is because Melchizedek did not have a past. They didn't know his lineage. There were three things that, according to Melchizedek, that are the same as what Jesus is. Jesus, his lineage, he does have a lineage, but it's not the same because he was also conceived by the Holy Spirit, not just men. Melchizedek gave tithes to Abraham, and he was the first one that actually talked about tithing. Okay, some of you might be saying, and which is understandable, you know, if all this is true, how do you do it? How do you go to this high priest? How do you go to Jesus and tell him about your problems, about my problems, you know, and how is he going to do it? Well, one of the things that I've always mentioned to some people is you go into your closet. And so I remember this verse about going into your closet, but I thought, I better have the verse there that tells about that. And Matthew 6:6, it says, "When you pray, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and a Father which has seen in secret shall reward you openly." Now, when it says closet, it doesn't necessarily mean where you put your clothes, but it does mean in secret. In other words, you're not broadcasting it. You're not out in front of everybody. I'm not saying you can't, but you don't have to be praying it from in front of everybody. Your problems, you can go to the Father in secret, and it says here, and he'll reward you openly. So, you know, it's always good to our pastor, our elders, they have a purpose here in the church, and it's not just to fill a name tag or something. In Rails class, you've all, you know, given the reasons for elders, and they're very important. But if you don't feel comfortable about it, you don't have to. Just go to the Father yourself. And how do you do it? Talk to him like a friend. You don't have to talk to him in King James, "Thou art the most gracious." Talk to him like you would a friend, and just say, and if you want, I haven't gotten to the point where I've called him Dad, or some people, I can't do that. I still have to give him respect, calling him Father, you know, or Lord Jesus. But just say, you know, I've got a problem. I've been dealing with this, and I don't know what to do. And if you have a sincere heart, you're gonna hear something from him. You really will. Whether it's, and I'm not saying it can't be audible. It could, to you, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, when he was Saul, he heard audible Jesus speaking to him. Nobody else did, but he heard it audible. Why couldn't it happen now? I mean, it could just to you. Or he could tell you in another way. The Holy Spirit could tell you. But we really don't have any thing to worry about if he's going to answer or not. Scripture says he's going to answer. Kathy and I were at down in Amish country the other day, and I saw this little plaque. It was so neat. I should have bought it. But it said, "Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell the storm how big your God is." And I thought that was so, I mean, it was just, you know, something that I'll remember for a long time. Instead of going to God and telling him, I'm not, you know, you can ask him for help, of course. But the problem that you're in, remind him that your God can overcome whatever you're doing. And so this is what I wanted to bring tonight, is to just to bring it out that there are people that need us, each one of us. And I think the pastor has mentioned before, you don't have to wait for him to do it. If somebody asks, one needs help, I'm sure a lot of you do, pray for them right there in the spot. There's a pastor, I don't know if you've heard of David Jeremiah. He told me, I didn't tell him. He said one time that people are always coming up to him and asking him for prayer. And he said, "I'm so busy. I find things to do so much." And he says, "Sometimes I forget." He says, "So now I've come to the point where when they ask me for prayer, I stop right then and I pray for them right then. That way I can't forget and they're getting what they need." You know, so that was pretty cool. And so I'm going to quit about right there. I don't think I missed anything what I wanted to say. I think I got the point across, you know, that we all need a Savior. We all need the Savior that will listen and ready to listen, and he'll take the time. He'll take the time to listen to us. He has all the time in the world. There is no time with him. And to think someday we'll be in that same boat. No time won't mean a thing. So let me close in prayer. One of the things I did wrong the last time was I don't remember opening in prayer, and I didn't close, and I was really convicted of that, you know. So let me close in prayer, close our eyes. Father, what a blessing it is to have a Savior like you, Father, one that not only sent your Son to die for us and to give us an everlasting life with you, but is also there to help our hearts, to help our suffering at times when people don't even know it, Father, but you do. Father, help. Thank you for being there when we need you. And Father, I just pray that the words that were said tonight, and not only by me, but by the Holy Spirit to anybody in particular. Some, you know, there are times that the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us differently. I pray that but we hear them and we take heed to those words and remember those, Father. And pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a little different.
Let's give some feedback.
Yeah.